I want to welcome you to the new year. Would have done it last week, but I wasn't here. I was in Texas cheering a team on too. But got to worship at Duane White's church at the Bridge. For years and years and years, when I grew up in this church and Dick Blackwell was the pastor, he always was in church. I remember he was always there. He never missed church for anything. That was Dick. He was just always at church. I knew that because my family took me to church, and we were always in church, and you never had a Sunday without Dick. And then later on, he started to travel a little bit and was absent. And when he would come back, he'd always say, "It is so good to be back home in church." And I'm like that now. I missed you guys last week. Church in Texas was good, but this is better. Love you guys. It's good to be home. Yeah, thanks. So welcome to the new year. Catherine got us started in a really powerful way last week with a message on the first part of our mission statement. She talked about love big. And this week I'm going to talk about grow deep. And her whole message was wonderful. The portion that I really liked, and so I wrote this out so I could quote her as she was quoting her crew leader those many, many, many years back at Virginia Tech. It was just yesterday, probably. So this is what her crew leader told her as she was being discipled. She said, "Do you want to learn new things and grow, or are you going to be okay with all the things you already know?" And I just love that statement. Like, I'm going to use that on some of you when I meet with you one-on-one. But in this group setting, I want to say to each one of us, are we okay being the same? I don't want to be the same. The Lord deserves more. You deserve more. I'm committed to growing and changing into the image of Christ because he deserves everything. So my answer to Catherine's crew leader is no, I'm not going to be happy or okay with the things that I presently know. I want to grow more like Jesus. So I want to be a little bit of that kind of influence in your life today. I want to provoke you and challenge you a little bit. And if you leave this morning feeling resigned to, okay, I'm going to try harder and read more Bible this year, I'll fail. But if you leave this morning inspired and encouraged and challenged to grow deeper in love with God, then I will be elated. So, with that intro, I want to start with a passage of wisdom from the Old Testament. This is from Jeremiah. It's the top part of your screen. I'll be reading from verses 5 through 8 in Jeremiah chapter 17. In the New Living, it's called Wisdom from the Lord. That right there ought to make us listen up. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this portion of your word. Lord, I confess, I don't want to rely on human strength. We put our hope and our confidence and our trust in you, Lord. Make us like thriving green trees planted along the river that never stop producing fruit. Make us like that, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Living things grow, right? We've said this before. Sue and I did pretty good at feeding, watering, helping four children grow in our home. We stink at making plants grow. So whenever I want to illustrate something, I don't go with gardening or plants because my personal experience there is not good. But we know that living things grow. That's the way God created it to be. And this passage of scripture here in Jeremiah, this wisdom from the Lord says that, do you want to be like a stunted shrub in the desert, or do you want to be like a green tree by the river that continually produces fruit? It's not a tricky or complicated question. There's really just one answer, right? Trees. That's us. That's what we want to be. Okay? So let's just hang on to that real simple truth from Jeremiah's prophetic wisdom. Now let's look in Colossians. Here's a New Testament reading. And this is how Paul talks about growing deeper in Christ. Colossians 2, verses 6 through 10. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. There it is, verse 9. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body. Verse 10, you also are complete through union with Christ. That is the same word that God gave Jeff to speak to us. We are one with Christ. We are complete in Christ. When we grow deep roots of faith, and when we let our lives be built on Jesus, when we grow deeper in faith that is taught from God's word, then we will overflow. Our lives will be marked by overflow. Overflow of gratitude. Overflow of love. Then our lives will not be captured by empty philosophies. We will not be deceived by spiritual darkness. We will be complete in our union with Christ. And so here's some keys from this little portion of scripture in Colossians. It says, continue to follow Jesus, continue to grow in God in the same manner that you came to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. He says, continue in the way that you started. Now, this is a little review of our Galatians study last summer. How did we come to follow Jesus? By grace through faith, right? We believed. That's how we started with Jesus. We believed. And that's how we must continue. It isn't by human effort. It's not by trying harder to obey the laws. It's certainly not by circumcision. It's by believing. By grace through faith, we are saved. And by grace, we continue to follow Jesus. It says, let your roots grow in verse 7. It doesn't say, make your roots grow. Do you know you can't make yourself be transformed into the image of Christ? See, that we're in resolution season. I hope any resolution you've developed that didn't come from the heart of God has already failed and you have quit wasting your time. It doesn't say make your roots grow. It says let your roots grow. Here's how Paul tells us about growth. He reminds us how growth really happens. In his letter to the Corinthian believers, he says, who after all is Apollos and who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believed the good news. They were just servants who shared the good news. That was the work the Lord gave us to do. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. Please, church. God makes you and I grow in Christ. Anything that you can grow is filthy rags. That's what Scripture says. It's worthless. If you can make it, it ain't worth nothing. God makes us grow deeper in Christ. And then it says, let your lives be built. Who builds? Jesus had a little interaction with the disciples, and he was saying, who do you say that I am? And Peter got the right answer. He said, you are the Lord. You are the Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus says, you didn't get that one on your own. That one was revealed to you. And then he goes on and says, I say to you, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. All the powers of hell will not conquer it. So God makes us grow, and Jesus builds his church, and that's who does the work. What do? We continue in Christ the same way that we came to him, by believing. That's our work, church, to believe, to have faith. So we grow deep roots in God, and our lives are built on Jesus. And who accomplishes these things? God does, through the finished work of Jesus. So what is our work? What do? We believe. Do we do anything else? Well, it says here, we continue to follow Jesus in the way we started. So we believe and we keep believing. Is there anything else we do? Well, I went to someone who's very more eloquent than I am. There's a classic book called The Celebration of Discipline that Richard Foster wrote. If you've not read it, I hope you will. Here is a passage that he talks about. He talks about this abundant life, the good life in God. And he says the abundant life is found in, it consists of three things. It consists of our identity, who we are in Christ, understanding who we are as a son and daughter of God. And it consists of provision, having what we need. The Lord provides everything we need. In Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom and I will add everything that you need to your life. We need shelter, we need clothing, we need food, we need provision. So the abundant life that Jesus talks about in John 10:10 consists of our identity being understood and walked in, our provision being met, and this third thing. And this third thing is where we're going. And this third thing he calls personality. So I'm going to read this excerpt. It's a little long, but I think it'll be really life-giving. He says, personality refers to the inward person expressed in certain determinate ways or ingrained habits. This is a major problem for many of us. We have acquired habits that defeat us over and over again. It is at the level of habit that the main work of redemption occurs so far as the transformation of our lives is concerned. If we are going to experience the good life, the abundant life, certain deeply embedded habits are required. Conversely, there are also certain ingrained habits from which we need to be liberated. Since our slavery occurs mainly at the habit level, our freedom is discovered primarily at this level. In short, I am speaking of power, power from God that enters the life and transforms the habit patterns. Jesus diagnosed the Apostle Peter's problem this way. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. His statement graphically depicts the situation for many of us. Though we want to do what is right, we seem unable. But Jesus Christ did not intend that problem to continue for Peter, nor does he intend it should continue for us. In Scripture, we are instructed on how the flesh can be brought into a working harmony with the Spirit in obedience to the ways of God and in the context of contemporary life. But this reality is not found in a few easy steps to blessedness. Here's my paraphrase. This path to the abundant life is not found in two easy New Year's resolutions. Rather, it involves a voluntarily accepted and consciously chosen course of action that includes both individual and group life, which will set us before God in such a way that He can produce the needed change. So this is really awesome truth. So I'm going to read it again in case you missed it. The reality of transformation is not found in a few easy steps. Rather, it involves a voluntary, accepted, and consciously chosen course of action that includes individual and group life, which will set us before God in such a way that He can produce the needed change or transformation. So there's a process. That's continuing to follow Jesus. We follow Jesus by believing. We come to faith by believing, and then we are transformed by continuing to believe. And he says, we set ourselves before God. I want to paraphrase that even more, and I just want to say, we come to faith in Jesus Christ by believing, and we are transformed simply by showing up. Showing up. Transformation is a growth and change process. God makes us grow. Jesus builds His church. We believe and we show up. Here's another way Paul describes the transformation process. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him, transformation. The Spirit makes us more and more like Christ as we are changed into His glorious image. We turn to Jesus. We turn from sin. We turn to Jesus. We believe. And then He begins to transform us. He turns the Holy Spirit loose on your life, and we start changing. When we grow deep, God changes us. God transforms us. God builds us into His church. God makes us more and more like Jesus. We believe. We turn. We are saved by grace through faith. We continue to follow Jesus. We pursue a course, and quoting Richard Foster, we pursue a course of action that sets us before God. We show up. Earlier, when I read that wisdom passage from Jeremiah, I asked, what do you want, stunted shrub or thriving tree? It's a pretty easy choice, right? But we could just make sure that we've exhausted the alternative. And so here's a real quick slide. Why not just stay shallow? So there's this parable. Jesus is telling a parable to His disciples in Matthew chapter 13, and it's a story of a farmer who's sowing seed. And he says, there's the farmer sows seed, and he sows it extravagantly, and some gets on the path, some gets on this hard soil, some gets on thorny soil, some gets on really good soil. And so I'm jumping to the explanation, the conclusion. So the disciples are like, what does this mean? And Jesus says, now listen to the explanation of the parable, verse 18. The farmer planting his seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away that seed. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell on the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. Verse 23, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest 30, 60, even 100 times as much has been planted. Lord, let us be good soil that your seed falls on. So why not be shallow? Well, it's because when life gets difficult, we become a stunted shrub. That's why not shallow. So here's my slide with my version of this. Without deep roots, we're going to wither, dry up, and have no fruit. We're going to be unstable, weak, and powerless. Without deep roots, we are vulnerable to anxiety, fear, and bondage. Without deep roots, we are naive. We're easily deceived. We are susceptible to lies. Without deep roots in Christ, we are in danger of falling away from God's love, from God's truth, and that ultimately leads to spiritual death. Death is not good. Life in Christ is good. Stunted shrub, thriving tree. Okay. All right, let's get to the wrap up. So a challenging part of this transformation process is that when we grow deep, this process of change is an internal one primarily. Growth happens on the inside. It's mostly invisible. You know, one of the rewarding things about becoming more fit by having a better diet, better sleeping habits, exercising regularly is you can see the progress you're making. That helps. I think. When we give attention to our physical health, we can see pretty quickly when we're making progress. This transformation process is primarily an invisible thing that goes on the inside of our lives. It's much like roots of a tree. You do not see, for most part, there are plants you see the roots, but most of the time, the roots of a tree are subterranean, they are invisible, and we don't know how they're doing. But over time, we know how they're doing by the fruit that does be revealed. Roots in a tree are incredibly important and critical, but we don't see them. So this transformation, this growing deep in Christ process is primarily internal transformation. It's really not that visible until we begin to see the fruit down the road. Now, this morning, we had a wonderful testimony from Joey. Mike and Luke joined him, and they had a wonderful time in India. Misty invited us to join in the Open Doors outreach to our community. In a little bit, Conrad, later this week, Conrad Zapana is going to take another large team to the Philippines and do an outreach. The youth group is embarking on Alpha tonight. All of those are very visible outward activities that are occurring. If those activities that we're doing to go out, the third part of our mission statement, if those activities are an overflow of the love and the roots and the relationship we have with Christ, thumbs up. But if all of that activity is a way to try and get God's attention and get him to love us and embrace us and accept us, thumbs down. Now, which one is it for you? I don't know. The Lord does. Ask him. He'll show you. See, we want to have deep roots so that whatever the activity level is that God's called us to, it will be an overflow of a love relationship that is deep in us and not something that squeezes the last few ounces of life out of our body and we dry up and wither and blow away. Is this clear? I love that there's so much going on in this church, reaching out into the community, Alpha, Open Doors, mission trips, connection with missionaries around the world. I love it. I want more of it, but I want it to be an overflow of a deep foundation and love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and not a bunch of works that will make me good enough to be saved. Okay? Grow deep, church. Be transformed. I have this dream for this year. I have a lot of dreams, so don't hold me to just this one. regarding Grow Deep. What would it be like if everyone in Grace, all 1,000 plus of us, spent time every day growing deeper and stronger in God? So I'm going to read another excerpt here from Richard Foster. From the beginning, men and women have sought to free themselves from this crushing human predicament, that being the one that Peter was struggling with. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So from the beginning, we've been fighting this struggle. The normal means for solving our dilemma has been law and ritual. Either we set up a series of law, which we hope will cover every situation, or we devise religious rituals. Neither law nor ritual succeeds in transforming the human personality, although, as Jesus mentioned, both often make quite nice-looking whitened sepulchres. He's very elegant. You remember whitewashed tombs? That's what Jesus called the Pharisees, who kept everything looking good on the outside, but inside was death. A heavy exertion of the will may be employed to accomplish our goal, but the effort is doomed to failure. This other author, Paul Tournier, writes, "To depend on one's own willpower, one's good resolutions, is to ask for failure and for a perpetual conflict which will destroy rather than strengthen the forces of a person. There is a proper place for the will, but it is not in transforming the inner person. The will functions in the decision to place ourselves before God so that he may work within us. As the old spiritual song says, I have decided to follow Jesus." And that was taken from Colossians 2. It says, continue to follow Jesus. And that decision is a continual one, for the following of Jesus is continual. The will plays an important part in the function of the spiritual disciplines, but we are never made righteous by exertion of the will. Righteousness is a gift from God which comes as we place ourselves before him. The function of spiritual disciplines is clear. They are the means for receiving God's grace. God's desire is to bring us into that way of living in which our needs are cared for, our sense of identity as individuals is clarified, and the inward life becomes whole and unified. To this end, Jesus Christ lived, died, and was resurrected, and ever lives to be our prophet, our priest, and king. The salvation that is in Christ involves not only the forgiveness of sins and heaven when we die, but the breaking of the power of sin so that we can live in newness of life right now. The good life of the kingdom of God breaks into our hearts by the grace of God alone. We are not only saved by grace, but we live by grace as well. However, we must see that we have a part to play in this drama of holiness. To be sure, it's only a bit part in a huge pageant, but it is an essential one. Our work, our only work, is to place ourselves in the way of Christ and invite him to work in our lives and individually as well as collectively. Our part is to believe and to show up. So here's my final slide. Growing deep, my dream for this congregation is that every day of 2018, we would grow deep by spending time in God's Word, spending time in prayer, even fasting sometimes, reflecting, listening to the Lord, exercising some solitude. Some of us don't need so much solitude from one another. We need solitude from electronic media devices. Keeping the Sabbath, studying, learning, getting training, keys to healthy spirituality. And don't give up on corporate worship and fellowship. So in a few weeks, we're going to have a greenhouse. We're going to have 4 weeks of training, learning, equipping. Take advantage of it, church. It's so that we will grow deep roots in Christ. All right, so I came up with this idea. Help it make some application for you. How do we grow deep? We believe. and we show up. Imagine what it would be like if every one of us who are part of Grace Covenant would show up every day. And by showing up, I mean we would place ourselves before God so that He can do the transformation in our lives. So here's my challenge. I've seen all kinds of challenges this year. Dwayne had a challenge for his congregation. Here's my challenge for Grace Covenant Church. For the next 40 days, I invite you to spend 20 minutes each day showing up, reading, praying, listening to the Lord. So why 20 minutes? Well, I found it interesting. Some of you wouldn't be too surprised that the average American, and okay, this is according to labor statistics that the American government interviewed thousands of people. So the average American spends between 8 and 9 hours every day in sleep. That's how much sleep the average American gets, between 8 and 9 hours. We spend a little bit over 8 hours a day working on working days. That isn't too surprising. Here was one that was a little surprising. The average American spends 1 hour and 5 minutes a day eating. There aren't too many meals that families are having around a table if 1 hour and 5 minutes is our time for eating. This was shocking. We spend 33 minutes a day shopping. I am not average. Here's where it got a little grim. The average American spends 9.5 minutes a day. Average American, 9.5 minutes a day in religious activity, meaning corporate worship, personal devotion, small group, volunteering to open doors, going to Alpha. Average American, 9.5 days. I want you to know that you are above average people. Because this morning's 90-minute worship service gives you more than 9.5-minute average for the week. It does. You're above average just by showing up to worship. Here was the most troubling. According to the American Bureau of Labor Statistics, Americans spend 5 hours of leisure a day. 3 of those hours, TV. One good football game this afternoon, and you've got it, guys. We spend 40 minutes or more socializing. Here's the one. 20 minutes a day, the average American spends exercising. 20 minutes a day, Americans give to physical exercise for their physical well-being. I think that if the average American is going to spend 20 minutes a day being physically fit, Christians ought to spend 20 minutes a day being spiritually well, minimum. And so why 40 days? Well, some researchers say that in 21 days you can form a new habit. Other researchers say that it takes more than 50 days to really form a habit. And depending on how challenging the habit is, even more. I want you to know that I decided to get more fit, and I've been at this new routine for over a year, and it's still not habit. But it's more so. I'm more consistent than I was a year ago. So 40 days, I kind of like 40 days because in 40 days, Jesus fasted in the desert and overcame the work of the enemy in our lives. So let's go for 40. It's more than 21. It's not as many as 50. But let's go for 40 and let's spend 21 minutes showing up, presenting ourselves before God and letting Him grow and transform us. Worship team, why don't you come up? What would we look like? I think we would be, as a body, a mighty spiritual force. We would be nuclear reactor power plants in the spirit. I think we would be unshakable. I think we'd have deeper courage to share love and truth with people who are dying and need it. I think we'd carry a deeper presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and it would go with us everywhere we go. I think when we gather corporately, our worship services like this morning would be even more filled with the presence of God. We'd be more loving and gracious. I never really told you what I wanted to do here at the close. That Sinking Deep song was really awesome. Let's do that. Start out instrumental. I don't know how many of us already are spending 20 minutes each day or even more in spiritual disciplines like the ones here on this slide. But for those who are doing it, I affirm you, I honor you, and I encourage you, keep showing up, keep growing deeper, keep going for it, church. I also don't know how many of you here have no habit whatsoever of showing up to meet with God. So I want to encourage you to make this a really different year in your life. Please accept my challenge of 20 minutes a day for the next 40 days. And as I give that encouragement, I can imagine some of you thinking, showing up and spending 20 minutes in personal devotions sounds about as enjoyable as getting a book of business law and reading it in a cold prison cell where ice is on the bars. It's so cold. Did I make that stark enough? I was trying. But I think I would like you to imagine showing up, spending time daily with the Lord would be much more like putting a beautiful fire in your fireplace, curling up with your favorite blanket on the sofa, and reading the most inspiring love story of a father who goes out looking for his children, drinking your favorite brew. I mean, coffee or tea. This is. See, getting up and spending time, showing up and being with the Lord isn't like being forced into a stark, cold prison cell. It's way more life-giving, church. It's like being with the one you love, curled up in the sofa. Being reminded of God's great love for each one of us. Grow deep, church. Let's stand up. I want to just pray a blessing and benediction over you. When I'm done, you can stay. The worship team's going to linger on this song. The ministry team will be up here to pray for whatever you want prayer for. We love to pray in faith for whatever need people have. I've left a series of books for the studious people, for the ones who like to read, the ones who connect with God by reading things. There's a number of books. There's a couple of Richard Foster's, Celebration of Discipline. You should have that in your library, not just on the shelf to look pretty, but read it and then give it away if you want. There's some other books that are amazing that I have found and kept in my library. So these are my gift to you. If you want to connect with God, if you want to grow deeper through some personal study, these are all amazing resources. Grab it, keep it, share it. But if you want prayer for anything, come forward and the ministry team will pray for you. So ministry team, come on up. Bow your heads. Let me pray this closing. Heavenly Father, I pray that from God's glorious, unlimited resources, you would empower each one here with inner strength. I pray that Jesus Christ would make his home in your hearts as you trust him more. I bless each one here today with roots that go deep down into God's love and continue in God's love. I bless you to have the power to understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep God's love for you is. I pray you experience the love of Christ that is too great to fully understand. And I bless you to be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Lord, I bless each one here to know your love, to grow in your love, and to show up each day and present themselves to you. Pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you, church. I bless you in this new year. You're free to go. You're invited to come for prayer or grab a resource if you want one.